All right, so today we're diving deep, into the world of Old Testament prophets, and specifically we're focusing on Jeremiah and using a lecture by Dr. Gary Heitz to kind of guide our discussion.
Sounds good.
One of the things that I found really fascinating in this lecture was this concept of covenants and how they kind of provide the framework for understanding God's interaction with humanity throughout history.
It's interesting because, the covenants are kind of this thread that connects everything together.
Yeah, it's like this hidden thread that you don't really see until you start looking at it through that lens. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to kind of start with this idea of prophets as watchmen, which is an analogy that Dr. Yates uses a lot. And I think it's a powerful one.
I think so too. It really captures the urgency of the prophet's role. This idea of a watchman stationed on a city wall, scanning the horizon for threats, and then warning the people. It really, it's a perfect analogy for what the prophets were doing. They were warning the people about the consequences of their actions, specifically they're straying from the covenant with God.
It's like they're sounding the alarm, trying to wake people up to the danger they're in.
That's a great way to put it.
And you see this so clearly in Jeremiah 6:17, where God says, "I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not pay attention."
It's a bit disheartening,
It is.
isn't it, to think that even with these warnings, people chose to ignore them? It makes me think of that story that Dr. Yates shared about the policemen trying to evacuate people ahead of a hurricane, and no one would listen.
It's a perfect parallel.
It is.
The policemen knew the danger was real, just like the prophets knew that the consequences of turning away from God were real. But sometimes those warnings fall on deaf ears.
Sadly, they do.
Okay, so we've got these prophets acting as watchmen, but they weren't just passively observing, right?
No, not at
They
all.
were actively delivering God's message to the people.
Absolutely. They were spokesmen, directly conveying God's word. It wasn't just their own opinion.
And that phrase, "Thus says the Lord," it appears over and over again in the prophetic books, right?
Over 350 times.
It really drives home that point.
Yeah, it really emphasizes their role as conduits of divine communication, messengers entrusted with a message that wasn't their own. Some people try to argue that it was just the prophet's own interpretation or opinion, but passages like 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 1 clearly state that scripture is God-breathed, not a product of human will. So, it really was a divine message that they were delivering.
It's like they were chosen vessels
Exactly.
speaking on behalf of a higher authority. And Dr. Yates goes a step further and he says that Jeremiah, in particular, embodied God's word, becoming a living expression of it.
That's where it gets really interesting. Jeremiah internalized God's words to such a degree that he became inseparable from the message itself. His entire being was a reflection of the divine message he carried.
So it's almost like he became this walking, talking embodiment
That's a great way to put it.
of the covenant between God and his people.
And that brings us to the heart of what we're exploring today, prophets as covenantal messengers.
So let's unpack this idea of covenants.
I
I
will.
understand they're like agreements between God and humanity,
Right.
but there seems to be a whole network of them throughout the Old Testament.
You're right. There are several key covenants that form the backbone of biblical history. Dr. Yates highlights five: the Noahic, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, and ultimately the New Covenant.
So it's not just this random collection of agreements,
No.
but it's a purposeful progression, each building upon the last.
Each covenant represents a stage in God's unfolding plan for humanity, revealing more of his character and his desire for a relationship with his people.
And the prophets, like Jeremiah, acted as envoys,
Right.
reminding the people of their place within these covenants
And exactly.
and the consequences of straying from them.
And Dr. Yates points out four key elements that are consistently woven into the prophet's covenantal message. First, there's the acknowledgement of sin and covenant breaking, calling out the ways people have strayed from God's path.
Which is a necessary wake-up call, I imagine, especially if people had become complacent or had forgotten their obligations. Then comes the call to repentance, urging people to turn back to God, realign themselves with his will.
Yeah.
And experience the blessings of the covenant.
So it wasn't just about condemnation.
Right.
It was about offering a path back to the right relationship.
Exactly.
But if the call to repentance was ignored,
right,
then the prophets would deliver the warning of judgment.
Okay.
The consequences of continued disobedience.
Yeah.
They weren't shy about painting a picture of what would happen if the people persisted in their rebellion.
And that's where that watchman aspect comes back into play.
Right.
They were warning of very real dangers.
Exactly.
Both spiritual and physical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all doom and gloom, is it?
No, it's not.
There's also that element of hope.
Right.
The promise of restoration.
Exactly.
Even in the face of judgment, the prophets always held out the possibility of redemption.
It's this blend of accountability and hope.
Yeah.
That really highlights God's desire to bring humanity back into the blessings he originally intended.
Okay, so I'm starting to see now how these covenants are like the foundation on which the prophets' messages are built. They provide the context for understanding the warnings, the calls to repentance, and ultimately the hope for restoration.
It's a framework that helps us understand not only the prophets' message,
right,
but also the whole sweep of biblical history.
Okay, so how did these specific covenants play out in the lives of the Israelites?
Right.
And where does Jeremiah fit into this grand narrative? We'll delve into those questions right after this. We'll be right back. You know, it's fascinating how each of these covenants acts like a building block.
Yeah.
Progressively revealing God's plan for humanity. They're not just isolated agreements. They're like chapters in an ongoing story.
That's a great way to put it.
And Dr. Yates does a fantastic job of showing how each covenant builds upon the previous one,
right,
revealing God's unwavering faithfulness and his ultimate desire for relationship with us.
Let's start with the Noahic covenant.
Okay.
We all know the story of the flood.
Right.
But what's often overlooked is the covenant God makes with Noah afterward.
Right, the rainbow.
Exactly.
As a symbol of God's promise never to again destroy the earth by flood.
Yeah, it's a powerful image of hope and renewal.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Yates points out that there's more to it than that.
Oh, really?
The Noahic covenant also establishes a foundational principle for God's interaction with humanity.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to the judgment of nations.
Okay, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
How does the Noahic covenant relate to the judgment of nations?
Well, the Noahic covenant also addressed the sanctity of human life.
Okay.
Condemning bloodshed and violence.
Right.
And Dr. Yates argues that when nations engage in widespread violence and injustice, they are essentially violating that fundamental covenant.
So it's like a universal moral standard that applies to all humanity, regardless of time or place. It's not just about avoiding another flood.
Right.
But about upholding a certain standard of justice and respect for human life.
Precisely. And you see this reflected in the messages of prophets like Isaiah and Habakkuk.
Okay.
Who called out nations for their transgressions, for their disregard for human life.
Right.
And their failure to uphold justice.
So they were essentially saying, hey, you're violating the terms of the Noahic covenant.
Exactly.
There will be consequences for this.
That's a great point.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It connects these ancient covenants to contemporary issues of international justice and human rights.
Absolutely.
It gives a whole new dimension to the idea of prophetic warnings.
And speaking of warnings, the Mosaic Covenant provides an even more explicit framework for understanding Israel's history and the role of the prophets.
Okay, remind me about the key elements of the Mosaic Covenant.
Sure.
It was made specifically with Israel, right?
Yes. The Mosaic Covenant outlined God's expectations for Israel as his chosen people. It's a conditional covenant.
Okay.
Offering blessings for obedience.
Right. And curses for disobedience.
So it was like a roadmap for Israel.
Exactly.
Showing them the path to blessing and prosperity.
Right.
But also warning them of the dangers of straying from that path.
Precisely. And the prophets constantly reminded Israel of this covenant.
Yeah.
When they were experiencing hardship or exile.
Right.
The prophets would say, hey, this is a direct result of your covenant violations.
Mm.
You've turned away from God and now you're reaping the consequences.
It's like they were connecting the dots for the people.
Yeah.
Showing them the cause and effect relationship between their choices and their circumstances.
Exactly.
They were essentially saying, look, this is how the Mosaic Covenant works.
Right.
You can't expect blessings if you're constantly breaking the agreement.
That's a great way to put it.
The prophets weren't just delivering abstract pronouncements.
No.
They were explaining current events through the lens of the Mosaic Covenant.
Right.
Showing how it directly impacted the nation's fate.
Exactly. It's incredible how this ancient covenant had such a profound and lasting impact on Israel's history.
It really is.
But there's another layer to this story, right?
Yeah.
The Davidic Covenant.
Yes, the Davidic Covenant adds a whole new dimension to God's unfolding plan.
Oh.
It promised an eternal dynasty to David.
Right.
A lineage of kings ruling over Israel.
Ah, the famous House of David.
Exactly.
It's amazing how that lineage has continued to fascinate people for centuries.
It really has. But the Davidic Covenant wasn't just about establishing a powerful dynasty.
Okay.
It was deeply intertwined with messianic prophecies,
mm-hmm.
pointing towards a future king,
mm-hmm.
someone even greater than David himself.
So it's like the Davidic covenant is setting the stage for something much bigger.
Exactly.
A future hope that transcends the immediate political realities of the time.
Precisely. And even though Jeremiah prophesies during a time of upheaval for the Davidic dynasty,
right.
with the Babylonian exile looming,
yeah.
he never lost sight of that promise.
Mm-hmm.
He envisioned a future restoration.
Okay.
A time when a descendant of David would rule with justice and righteousness.
So even amidst the political turmoil and the impending judgment,
yeah.
there was this glimmer of hope,
right.
this anticipation of a future king who would fulfill God's ultimate plan.
It's a beautiful thread that runs through Jeremiah's message.
Mm-hmm.
A reminder that even in the darkest of times, God's promises remain.
Wow.
And this brings us to the culmination of these covenants.
Okay.
The new covenant.
All right.
Which Jeremiah plays a key role in proclaiming.
Okay, this is where it all starts to connect to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The new covenant is the fulfillment of all those previous promises and prophecies.
Exactly. The new covenant, as described in Jeremiah 31.3134,
okay.
promises forgiveness of sins
right.
and a radical transformation of the heart.
Mm.
It's not just about external rules and rituals anymore.
Right.
It's about an internal change,
mm-hmm.
a new relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Written on the very hearts of his people.
So it's like moving from a contract to a covenant.
That's a great way to put it.
From a legalistic agreement
yeah.
to a relationship based on love and mutual commitment.
Beautifully put. And this new covenant proclaimed by Jeremiah centuries before Jesus walked the earth.
Wow.
Finds its ultimate fulfillment in the person of Christ.
I'm eager to hear how Jeremiah, living in those tumultuous times.
Yeah.
connected to this idea of a new covenant.
Right.
It seems almost paradoxical to proclaim a message of hope amidst such bleak circumstances.
That's a great point. And it gets to the heart of Jeremiah's unique role in this unfolding drama.
Yeah.
We'll unpack that connection right after this.
So we've got Jeremiah, this pivotal figure, right?
Yeah.
A prophet speaking God's word during a time of intense crisis for Israel.
Right.
How does he bridge the gap between those earlier covenants and this radically new relationship with God
yeah.
described in the new covenant?
Well, you know, it's a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And it gets right to the heart of what makes Jeremiah's message so compelling.
Okay.
You know, he lived in a period where the old order was crumbling. The Babylonian exile was on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
The Davidic dynasty was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
The people were deeply divided.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been easy to give in to despair at that point, to pronounce doom and gloom on everyone.
To just say, you know what, it's all over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah doesn't do that.
He doesn't.
He clings to this vision of a new covenant.
Right.
This radical transformation of the relationship between God and his people.
He's looking beyond the immediate crisis to a future filled with hope.
Exactly. And he doesn't shy away from the harsh realities of judgment.
Right.
But he also fiercely proclaims this promise of a brighter future.
It's powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
Dr. Yates calls him a beacon of hope amidst the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a perfect description.
I think so, too.
You know?
Yeah.
It's that blend of judgment and hope
mm-hmm.
that makes his message so enduring.
Yeah. It's like he's not sugarcoating things.
Yeah.
But he's also pointing toward a path of redemption.
Exactly.
A way back to God.
And what's so remarkable is that Jeremiah isn't the only prophet who speaks of this new covenant.
Right.
You know, Dr. Yates points out that Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
Ezekiel,
yeah.
Joel, they all contribute to this unfolding tapestry of God's redemptive plan.
So it's like they're all part of a grand symphony.
That's a great way to put it.
Each playing their part to reveal a larger theme, yeah. a deeper message.
It's amazing to think that these prophets, separated by time and circumstance,
right.
We're all united in this proclamation of a new covenant.
It speaks to a larger plan, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
And what's even more incredible is how the New Testament picks up this thread and weaves it into the very fabric of the gospel message.
This new covenant isn't just an abstract theological concept tucked away in the Old Testament.
No.
This is a living reality that finds its ultimate expression in Jesus.
Exactly.
It's all starting to come full circle now.
You got it. Remember that passage in Jeremiah 31?
Yeah.
Where God promises to write his law on the hearts of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Jesus declares, this is the blood of the new covenant,
right,
he's directly connecting his sacrifice to those prophetic words.
Wow.
It's the fulfillment of Jeremiah's vision.
Yeah.
The culmination of centuries of promises and prophecies.
That gives me chills.
And it doesn't stop there.
It doesn't.
The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, calls himself a minister of the new covenant.
Right.
Highlighting the transformative power of this new relationship with God.
And the writer of Hebrews,
yeah,
quoting extensively from Jeremiah 31,
right,
emphasizes the superiority of the new covenant over the old.
Mm-hmm.
Pointing us to Jesus as the ultimate mediator of this new relationship.
Exactly.
It's mind-blowing how these seemingly disparate pieces of scripture fit together so seamlessly.
It really is.
Like a puzzle.
Yeah, it's like a divine puzzle.
Yeah.
Where all the pieces fit together perfectly.
It really speaks to the divine inspiration of the Bible.
It does.
You know, this grand narrative woven together by God himself unfolding over centuries.
That's what makes studying the prophets so rewarding.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding ancient history.
Right.
But about discovering how those ancient messages connect to our lives today.
Right.
They challenge us to think deeply about our relationship with God,
mm-hmm,
with each other.
Yeah.
And with the world around us.
You know, I started this deep dive feeling a bit intimidated by the prophets.
I can understand that.
All that talk of judgment and doom can be pretty heavy.
It can be, but, you know, they weren't just doom and gloom preachers.
Yeah.
They were messengers of hope, pointing us toward God's ultimate plan of redemption.
And that brings us to a crucial question.
Yeah.
If the prophets were active today, what warnings might they have for our society?
Right.
And what promises might they offer?
What would Jeremiah say to our world today?
Yeah.
What injustices would he call out?
Mm.
What hope would he offer?
It's a challenge to imagine, but also incredibly inspiring.
I think that's the perfect note to end on.
Yeah.
We've explored the prophets as watchmen, spokesmen,
mm-hmm,
and covenantal messengers.
Yeah.
But perhaps their most enduring legacy is their ability to make us think critically about our own lives,
mm-hmm,
our own society, and our own relationship with God.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to continue exploring these ideas.
Yes.
Delve deeper into the prophetic books,
mm-hmm,
and discover for yourselves the timeless relevance of these ancient voices.
You might be surprised by what you find.
Until next time.
Keep seeking. Keep questioning.
Keep diving deep.